Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Will we get seven games out of the Stanley Cup Championship? We shall see. Now, here to give us a little bit of a preview on the Blues and the Bruins from NHL.com, senior writer Dan Rosen joins us on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Dan?
Good, Jody. How are you?
Good.
I'm on a train up to Boston.
I understand that. Are you planning on training it from Boston to St. Louis?
Well, it's not old school enough for me. No
way. That's a bit of a ride. If you're only coming from New York up to Boston, yeah, you can do the train thing. St. Louis, you better get on a plane.
There's only one original six team in this series, not two. If there were two, maybe we'd talk, but no. Only one, we're going to get on a plane.
Understood. So you're training it up to Boston. A lot of times when you get to these championship series, Eastern Conference, Western Conference play different types of hockey. I remember when Edmonton was ruling the West, they were more wide open, and the East was a little bit more physical. Watching these two teams make their run to the Stanley Cup Final, I look at them as kind of similar, that they play somewhat similar games. Would you agree with that assessment?
100% agree with that assessment. That's why I don't think there's going to be a feeling out period. Because, they only play each other twice a year. They don't know each other well, but they're like mirror images of each other. From first to fourth lines, from first D pair to third D pair, even in net. I mean, I would give the edge to Tuukka Rask in net for the Bruins just because of experience and how he has been playing. But Jordan Binnington, you know, the rookie for the Blues, is hardly playing like a rookie. So I agree. I think they are quite similar. They're both aggressive. They rely on their defense. They win faceoffs. They're big time on the forecheck. They shut you down at the blue line. They're mirror images of each other. So whoever gets to their game better is going to win, basically.
Let me ask you the question about Binnington. I hear what you're saying about Rask. Been there, done that. Been in playoff series before. Binnington is but a rookie. But he was also kind of the guy who got the whole season turned around for St. Louis. Yep. They were struggling down 29th out of 30, 30 out of 30 teams, and their run coincided with him coming to the big club. It wasn't like he was getting shutout after shutout after shutout, but sometimes a guy gives you enough good games, he seems to lift the team. Is that magic still in place that got them to the postseason now that they've gotten the postseason with him in between the pipes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're 100% right, too, because they were dead last in the NHL on January 3rd. Dead last, 31 out of 31, dead last. And Binnington's, I believe his first start of the season was January 7th. And he has had the net since then, taken it over, been the number one guy. They went on a 10-game winning streak. It's just been a phenomenal story that the Blues have done it. And they've ridden, you know, at times had to ride the back of this rookie goaltender who has, you know, just been lights out. And he has been, again, at times in the playoffs. They haven't had to rely on him as much as the Bruins have with Tuukka Rask at times, say games 6 and 7 at times against Toronto. Certainly the first period of game 3 against Carolina, he had to make 20 saves. Game 6 against Columbus, their clinching game there, Rask had to come up with 39 saves. He's had to be bigger at times than Binnington has had to be, and the numbers may reflect that, but Binnington has been just as effective for the Blues. And the last three games against San Jose, he allowed 2 goals. I mean, when he's had to come up big, he's come up big. And he has been the biggest factor, the biggest difference in their turnaround. We can name a bunch of different guys, and it could start with the impact of Coach Craig Berube coming in and taking over and reigniting this team. But you don't do it without goals. And they didn't have it, and now they do. Look where they are.
Dan Rosen, senior writer for NHL.com, hopping on with us here on CBS Sports Radio, talking about the upcoming Stanley Cup Final between the Blues and the Bruins. You mentioned Craig Berube as the head coach of the Blues. I got to see Craig up close and personal when he coached the Flyers, and he did a decent job, but it was more nondescript than anything else. and he was eventually replaced, and they went in another direction. But Berube's done a real good job of getting this team to first get on the wave and then ride the wave. What has he done differently? Was it something he changed in his way of doing things in season, or was just a matter of time of staying the course?
Well, one thing with Craig Berube is he's very direct, and that doesn't always come off as, you know, he's not a soft guy. I mean, this is a hard guy. He played the game that way, too, and that's how he coaches. He's very direct. He's a little bit in your face, and when he took over, there was a lack of competitiveness on this team, and there was entitlement. They made changes in the offseason, brought in a bunch of new guys, Ryan O'Reilly, Tyler Bozak, David Perron, Patrick Maroon. And when you bring in guys like this, top nine guys. The guys who were there, you know, they're going to wonder what happens, right? So what happened to me? What about me? And Berube came in and he took away the me, basically. Berube came in and he had hard meetings to start, and he put guys in their place. He was direct and honest in his approach. And I think professional athletes like that. You know, these guys like that. They like the idea that there was no beating around the bush. This is a veteran team. There was no beating around the bush. It was, this is the way it's going to be. Here's what you're doing right. Here's what you're doing wrong. Here's what you need to fix. And go ahead and fix it. And all of that worked for this team because it's a veteran team. And it continues to work. And they've ridden the wave of it, obviously.
Do you believe there's a coaching advantage here between Cassidy and Berube?
I don't. I really don't. I think both of these teams have the pulse of their. Both of these coaches have the pulse of their team. They're excellent at in-game adjustments. Bruce Cassidy is one of the best I've seen at in-game adjustments, actually, and just how he can adjust a line or a deep pair, or you know how he utilizes his guys depending on the way the game is being played. But Berube's done a terrific job. I really don't see a coaching advantage here. It's the first time for either one of them to get to the Stanley Cup Final. They're both. Followed a similar path, coached in the American Hockey League, had a shot in the NHL, didn't work out, getting their next chance and making it work on their next chance. The identity of these teams come from their coaches, I think, and they're both relentless, yet very honest. And I think it works for both. I don't see an advantage.
One thing the Bruins have been able to do in their three series wins to get to the Stanley Cup Final has been to, if not shut down, at least slow down the other team's top player. Yep. Is that a overall team defensive strategy? Is there one individual who's a great defensive player / checkingman that they're putting out against the other team's top player and top line? How have the Bruins been able to keep guys like Tavares and Teravainen from putting up big games against them?
Team defensively, they do a terrific job of shutting down the middle of the ice. So they push you wide. And that their whole defense is predicated on pushing you wide, pushing you into the wall, not giving up anything in the middle of the ice. And they do it really well, and they've done it really well since the latter stages of the Toronto series. Columbus was able to penetrate it a little bit, but not enough. Carolina had no chance. That's one thing they do well. Now, part of the reason they do it well is they're really good down the middle with their center depth. Patrice Bergeron is a 4-time Selke Trophy winner, arguably the best defensive center, or maybe one of the best overall centers, definitely one of the best overall centers, probably the best defensive center in the league. He takes faceoffs in the defensive zone, and he ends his shifts in the offensive zone. And that's a key thing. And they also have a guy on the fourth line, Sean Corelli, who does the same thing. So it opens up for David Krejci, their second line center, and Charlie Coyle, their third line center, to be a little bit more offensive. And Bergeron is still offensive because he centers the line with Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. They're their best line. It's probably, in my estimation, the best line in the National Hockey League. So they do a terrific job down the middle of the ice. And then their defensemen, I mean, Chara's 6'9" on the top pair, Brandon Carlo 6'5" on the second pair. Terrific reach to shut down the middle too with their sticks. They don't allow much. So it's really team defense predicated off of where they are the strongest, which is down the middle of the ice.
But I do like the Blues top line with Tarasenko, mm-hmm, and Shaden and Schwartz. they're going to get most of Boston's best defensive efforts. Can they be the first big unit to actually step up and do some damage against that Bruin D?
Well, I think it's going to have to. To be honest with you, I think it's going to have to be a team. You know, it can't just be one line for St. Louis. That line has been playing terrific. Jaden Schwartz had 12 goals in the playoffs. He had 11 in the regular season. It was a down regular season for him. He's much better than an 11-goal scorer. Tarasenko had a point in each of the six games against San Jose. Braden Schenn's been terrific. But they're going to need all four lines because I think you got to go into this series with the way Boston has been playing, assuming that the Bruins are going to be balanced as they've been all playoffs, and the Blues are going to have to match that with their balance. And I think it's going to be interesting because Patrice Bergeron's on the top line for Boston, and he's a Selke Trophy candidate. Ryan O'Reilly is really their best center, but he's playing on the second line for the Blues, and he's a Selke Trophy candidate. He's playing on the second line just about out of the chemistry of the top line, out of Schenn with Tarasenko and Schwartz. So how do those guys line up? Where do they match up? That's going to be very interesting because they're two of the best defensive centers in the league.
All right, and listening to the players, and we've had several days here before the Stanley Cup is going to, the finals are going to get going, you can read in between the lines as to what their overall belief is as to what's going to motivate them to win a championship. I just give you the fan belief that it seems like most of the casual fans are jumping on the Blues bandwagon because they haven't won forever,
yeah,
and Boston has won as often as they have. So if you're looking for who's the fan favorite, it's probably St. Louis. Is Boston going to use this as an us against the rest of the world mentality? Will St. Louis gladly accept the rooting interests of all of the fans? How do you think the fans' outlook plays into this, if at all, in a Stanley Cup final?
Well, it's funny because I saw a map. America, and everything was blue except for, like, New England was yellow. Because, I mean, there's babies who are 3 months old in Boston who haven't seen a parade yet. And, you know, they,
yeah,
really
shame on them.
Them.
Oh, my God.
Shame on them, right? But, no, I don't think that will be the motivation for the Bruins. I mean, they've got guys who have won, who were there in 2011 and won. David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron, Tuukka Rask wasn't playing at the time, but he was on the team. Zdeno Chara, too. They have a number of guys who were also there in 2013 when they lost in the Stanley Cup Final. Some of those same guys who lost in the Stanley Cup Final to the Chicago Blackhawks. The motivation doesn't need to be much more than the big silver trophy that you get to carry around at the end and party with all summer. The thing that's interesting with the Blues is you get a community feel. You get it in Boston, too, but you get this community feel around the Blues because they've never won before. And that community was just the St. Louis community, but now I think it's branched out further and further, and they've become sort of like the fan favorite, the, you know, what everybody wants to see. Oh, look how great it would be. And Boston may use it, but I think the idea of just winning the Stanley Cup is enough motivation for them.
Dan, good stuff. Get back to the beverage car. Have one on us. And have a great time. We'll be reading you at NHL.com during the Stanley Cup Final. Thanks, bud.
All right, Jody. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.